This morning's public read comes from 1 Samuel chapter 20, as we now resume our reading through the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 20, and going to pick up with verses 24 to 34 only. 1 Samuel chapter 20, we're going to be reading verses 24 to 34. This is God's eternal word. So David hid himself in the field, and when the new moon was come, the king sat down to eat meat. And the king sat upon his seat as at other times, even upon a seat by the wall. And Jonathan arose, and Abner sat by Saul's side, and David's place was empty. Nevertheless, Saul spake not anything that day, for he thought, something hath befallen him, he is not clean, surely he is not clean. And it came to pass on the morrow, which is the second day of the month, that David's place was empty. And Saul said unto Jonathan his son, Wherefore cometh not the son of Jesse to meat, neither yesterday nor today? And Jonathan answered Saul, David earnestly asked leave of me to go to Bethlehem. And he said, Let me go, I pray thee, for our family hath a sacrifice in the city, and my brother, he had commanded me to be there. And now, if I have found favor in thy eyes, let me go away, I pray thee, and see my brethren. Therefore he cometh not unto the king's table. Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan, and he said unto him, Thou son of a perverse, rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion, and unto the confusion of thy mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom. Wherefore now send and fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die. And Jonathan answered Saul his father, and said unto him, Wherefore shall he be slain? What hath he done? And Saul cast a javelin to smite him, whereby Jonathan knew that it was determined of his father to slay David. So Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger, and did eat no meat the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David, because his father had done him shame. Please be seated, and may God choose to bless his word. Well, we're going to label this one, Saul's Intent Exposed. Remember the last time that we read this, David knew full well that Saul was hunting him down to destroy him. And remember, at first, Jonathan didn't believe that that was his daddy's intent. And remember the little charade that David and Jonathan agreed to? Jonathan was going to have David hide out in the field, and Jonathan was going to do a little bit of, you know, questioning his father and kind of feeling out dad. And when it was quite evident that Saul really wanted to do him in, Jonathan shot the arrow, and his boy was out there, and he shot the arrow way beyond and told the boy, keep going, keep going. You're getting warm. Eventually, you're going to find the arrow. And while the young boy is trying to find this arrow, David comes out, Jonathan and him talk, and then they come to the conclusion that Saul did want to kill David. And David and Jonathan made that covenant between each other. And Jonathan also asked David, if memory serves me right, not to do any harm to him or his family when David became king. And so here we find Saul's intention really comes to the forefront. Here, beloved, you can't argue on Saul's defense that he was having a bad day. King Saul was very envious and very jealous because David was more popular. David was in the top 10. And when it came to David's exploits, the women singers would just exaggerate David's fame and at the same time kind of minimize what Saul was doing. And Saul just didn't like that. You know something, beloved? Let's realize one thing before we look at the exposition here. God's children are all different. We got all different talents and all different abilities and skills. And our church just recently studied last week 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul takes the image of a human body, the eyes, the ears, the finger, the toes, the feet, etc. Body parts, key organs, or parts of the body that we think are not that important. And he uses that illustration of a physical body to typify a typical church family. You got different members placed in the church. Some have other skills that others don't. And versus having jealousy and bitterness and disharmony, we got to realize that the body will function very well when every organ and every part is present and in the place that God has chosen for it. Remember Paul said, if the body was nothing but a big eye, where would the hearing be? Remember that illustration? Well, the same thing can be applied here. My word, Saul was king, right? Even though he lost the throne because of his own disobedience, he was chosen to be king. That should have made him happy, at least. David comes on the scene, young man, and David is young, vibrant, he's strong, God is with him, and he does greater things. Versus being jealous over our brothers and sisters who seem to be accomplishing a whole lot of great stuff over here, and our little patch is very small, very insignificant, and we're not getting the spotlight as much as this ministry and this brother is down the street, versus being envious and jealous. If this person over here who's doing great things, if he's doing it biblically, shall we not rather rejoice than be jealous? Shall we not simply praise God versus being envious that his patch, his little patch of dirt, is bringing forth a whole lot, and yet our patch is not, but we are just as faithful as he is or they are? Remember, God commends faithfulness, not necessarily the amount of fruit in the basket. Are you faithful with the talents and the gifts and the abilities that you were given? Well done, good and faithful servant. He didn't say, well done, good and prosperous guy. Hey, you did a whole lot, more so than that guy. No, well done, good and faithful servant. Well, let's look at the text. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 24. David hid himself in the field. And when the new moon was come, the king sat him down to eat meat. Now, this is the first day of the month, the phase of the new moon, okay, where the moon doesn't yet show its little tiny sliver of a crescent. So it's the beginning of this particular month, the first day. The king sits down to eat. Jonathan is there. Abner comes and sits by the king. And everybody notices that David's plate is empty and the chair is empty. His nameplate is on the table, but he's not there. Well, apparently, verse 26, King Saul kind of says, oh, well, he's not clean. Now, it doesn't mean that David was dirty and needed to take a bath. Saul was implying that David apparently was ceremoniously unclean for whatever reason. And he had not done whatever was prescribed under the law of Moses to take care of his ceremonial uncleanness. It doesn't mean that David was a pig or a slob with his hygiene. It came to pass on the morrow, notice, which is the second day of the month. Notice how that is keenly brought to the text. You got the new moon. That's day one of that month. the second day would be on the calendar, the day after the first, okay? David's place was again empty. Now, by this time, Saul is a little aggravated. Yesterday, I can tolerate, but not today. Something's up. So, he asks his son, what gives? Why isn't David here? Now, if you go back to verse 24, unless I'm reading this wrong, all this time, it would seem, David is not in Bethlehem, but he's hiding in that same field, apparently, where Jonathan and him did the thing with the arrow and the little boy chasing the arrow. That's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm seeing here, staying within context. And then Jonathan comes up with this elaborate excuse. Verse 28, David earnestly asked leave of me to go to Bethlehem. His family has this big hoorah, and David's older brother, so now he's using a little bit of authority, the older brother has insisted that David be with the family for this particular whatever family gathering for. And he says, David says, I pray thee, and see my brethren, therefore he cometh not unto the king's table. Well, apparently Saul doesn't seem to have bought that story. You would have thought that, you know, that would have been, okay, Saul would have kind of says, okay, all right, I can kind of buy that. But notice his reaction in verse 30. His anger was kindled against Jonathan and said unto him, now notice these words that come flying out of Saul's mouth. Thou son of the perverse, rebellious woman. Now, there are other English translations, beloved, that use a different wording. I'll just let you know that. Do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion and unto the confusion of thy mother's nakedness? Now, this is something else that comes to the forefront. The character and what's on the inside of Saul. Now, we've already seen Saul demonstrate what's on the inside of him on numerous occasions. Matter of fact, he lost the kingdom because of what came out of him. But notice this. Now, more than likely, it's not mentioned, but we can kind of infer based on verse 25, you have Saul at the table, David's place is empty, Jonathan's at the table, and Abner is at the table. So I'm going to assume, and hopefully I'm not stretching this, I'm assuming that on this second day, there were probably other people at that table dining, even though David was not present, based on the first day. Now, I could be wrong, but just grant me what I'm saying. Because what flies out of Saul's mouth in verses 30 was at least heard by the servants who were catering this meal. And notice what comes flying out of the king's mouth in regards to his son Jonathan. He berates and belittles his son who would have been or could have been the next king of Israel. For as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, as long as David's pumping blood, he's speaking to this son, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom. So Saul was looking at Jonathan to be the next king, you know, just by default. Wherefore now send and fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die. So he wants Jonathan to go out there and do his dirty work. You go up there and you rustle the son of Jesse and you haul him back to my palace and I'll take care of him. And then Jonathan says, Daddy, why do you want to kill him? And then notice what comes out of the king's mouth in verse 30 becomes translated into action. And Saul cast a javelin, we're talking a spear, at Jonathan to smite him, therefore killing the next prospective king, whereby Jonathan knew that it was determined of his father to slay David. So notice what came out verbally in verse 30. This is a key in Matthew, in Mark chapter 7. Remember when the Pharisees jumped all over Jesus and his disciples because they didn't wash their hands before they ate the grain? Okay, and therefore in the understanding of the Pharisees, Jesus and his disciples were ceremoniously unclean. And what did Jesus tell them? Oh, gentlemen, what goes in the mouth flies out the other end. That doesn't contaminate a man. What does contaminate a man? What comes out of his heart? What spews out of his mouth? Or what is done with his hands and his feet? And he gives a laundry list of all the different sins that can come out of the heart. Jesus says, it's what comes out of a man's heart that condemns him, not what he puts in his mouth. And so here in verse 30, I take Mark 7, I believe verses 21 to 23, and you can correct me, Mark chapter 7, verses 21, 23, I would cross-reference that along this verse 30. What's coming out of Saul's mouth, coming out of his heart, then becomes a reality or is translated into his action in verse 33 for attempting to kill his own son. So Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger and did eat no meat the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David because his father had done him shame. Jonathan felt shamed. He felt belittled by his father's words in verse 30. Well, may God choose to bless his word. Amen.